If you want actual fantasy advice, check out Daily Notes on ESPN.com. Check out Eric Carabell's blog.
If they want actual fantasy advice, they're not listening to this podcast. Fantasy, you're in the 06010 Focus. Fantasy, the most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it, say they can. Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto. Bob Hader, never win the man's league. ESPN. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards all around the world. Let's put it on.
Focus. 39, Matthew. Just 39 steals shy of 40. I'm speaking, of course, about Ichiro Suzuki,
yeah,
who very nearly was only 38 shy of 40. Just went 1-for-2 yesterday.
Yeah. And which was amazing, because I don't know if you saw the replays of Sean Figgins attempting to steal a second. Successfully, by the way, Kurt Suzuki came nowhere close to throwing him out.
Really?
Literally, it was as if I tried to throw him out. It was bad.
You know, that actually brings up a pretty good segue. And coming up on today's show, we'll obviously talk about each and everything that happened on opening day and over-evaluate it all. Overreact
right.
to it. Completely. Overreact to everything.
Why you should panic immediately.
Exactly. That's the title of the show. And your emails. But Matthew, have you seen the new ESPN.com Fantasy Baseball Daily Notes?
I have not seen the new improved this year.
So this is a piece that comes out every day.
Right.
Except
it's a fantastic
Canada, except
piece.
Saturday. Friday it comes out, covers the whole weekend. And it's all about daily leagues, daily
right.
lineup moves. You know, we don't do the fantasy forward on this show anymore.
That
frankly,
is correct.
We were inept at it.
And it was useless. By the time it got posted, Padres
right.
got a lot of different things to do, blah, blah, blah. The daily notes are fantastic.
Yeah. The only good thing
a
that ever came out of our
into
fantasy
them.
Forward was the War by the Shore.
That's true.
So anyway, so always trying to improve it. And this year, you know what they have?
I don't.
They have ratings for every pitcher that's going to pitch that day. And then they have these hitter matchup ratings where they basically say, okay, if you have a player in the Diamondbacks, here's the rating 1 to 10 against lefty pitching, or, you know, for left-handed batters, right-handed batters, and then steals. So basically what they did is Tristan Cockcroft and Pierre Bacay came up with these formulas to account for the pitcher and how many steals he allows and the catcher and how
wow.
many steals he allows, so that you can look at, you know, obviously very tough thing to do to predict a stolen base in any given day.
No doubt.
And you're never going to be able to do it with any degree of reliability, I don't think. But at least this gives you something to say, hey, maybe this guy's got a shot today. I'm looking for some steals. Carlos Gomez is a free agent. He's playing a team. He's got a 10 rating. It's a handy reference chart.
That would be owner of the combo meal, Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, there you go.
Combo meal last night. Looked good.
Carlos Gomez had a combo meal last night?
Home run and a stolen base. Yes, he did.
I glossed entirely over the home. He did not have a home run. You're thinking of Delmon Young, former teammate of Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez had a home run.
Did he really? Okay,
yes,
never
did.
Mind.
Yeah.
Delmon Young also with the combo meal.
Yes.
Anyway,
but
Matthew, Daily Notes and ESPN.com.
I actually have confidence that Carlos Gomez might do it again.
Really?
That wasn't a fluke.
You think Carlos Gomez will have more combo meals this year than Delmon Young? Neither one of them much of a home run hitter.
No,
so
neither, but Delmon Young has a little bit better chance at home runs. Carlos Gomez obviously has much more speed.
Well, that would be a funny bet to put on the board, but because it would be one of those like Sean Figgins.
I know, but it's one of those you'd have to keep track of it. It's a pain in the
ass. I don't think it'd be hard to keep track of Carlos Gomez's home runs.
I suppose not. I suppose not.
But no, we should do that. But anyway, fine. Daily Notes on ESPN.com for your daily fantasy baseball lineup moves. Today, Adam Madison recommends Wandy Rodriguez, who's obviously owned in just about every league, whether or not you should start him. You know, it's got the obvious info on there, but also Barry Zito, not owned in every league, the sixth-ranked starter for today.
Who's he facing?
He's at Houston, which
right.
doesn't look great, you know, fly ball pitcher in Houston, but based on their lineup, et cetera. And oddly enough,
J.R. Towles and
not a lot of great,
Manziela don't scare you?
Well, not a lot of great pitchers going today, oddly
right.
enough. And there's a lot of the Nick Blackburns and the Dallas Bradens and the Ian Snells pitching today. So, anyway. So there you go. A little plug there.
That's right. Instead of your comedy to open up the show, here's us being company men.
Monster Buzz.
start off with a couple of things that were not in the box score yesterday, Matthew. According to the Denver Post, Houston Street visited Dr. James Andrews and got good news on his injured shoulder.
That is very good. That's helpful for me and helpful for you.
Why is that?
Well, Franklin Morales nails down a save yesterday, once again making you look, you know, semi-dumb.
Doesn't make me look dumb. I never said he wouldn't get saves. He nailed down a save by giving up a run. That's what we call a dirty save.
Listen, whatever.
You get too many dirty saves, you know what starts to happen? What? You get no saves. And you're replaced by Matt Daly or somebody else.
We'll see. Anyway,
that was a dirty save.
It was not pretty, but whatever. Got the job done.
Street, still no timetable on his return, but at least this gives you a little bit of confidence that there will be a return.
Correct.
According to Adam Rubin, you know who Adam Rubin works for?
Newsday?
Oh, you take that company man drop right out of Matthew's cold, dead hands. ESPNNewYork.com.
Oh, okay. He must have worked for... I knew he worked for one of the New York companies.
Well,
knew one of the New York papers at some point.
You know who he works for right now?
ESPNNewYork.com.
ESPNNewYork.com's right. Adam Rubin.
Right, okay.
All right?
Okay.
New York Mets blogger.
Got it.
According to him, Jose Reyes, 2 stolen bases yesterday.
In a minor league game?
In a rehab game.
Right.
So, you know, for all the talk about the thyroid and everything, the real concern with everybody has been the hamstring, how much
right.
he'd run.
Could he steal against a rehab catcher?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't put too much stock in that, but at least he's running early.
Right, right.
You know, at least he is testing it.
No question.
It doesn't give you any degree of confidence about how long he's going to hold up.
Right. That's the thing with Reyes. I'm not surprised that he's running. I'm not
right.
surprised. Like, if he came up and did that in his first game back, I
right.
wouldn't be shocked.
But if he didn't run at all, you'd be like, oh, okay. Obviously, the upside went way, way down, and you still have all the same risk.
I guess so.
Well, that's the only point there. All right, let's talk about some things that actually did happen yesterday and overreact to them.
Okay.
So Garrett Jones is tied for the Major League lead in home runs.
Right, him and Pujols.
Yep.
I'll take Pujols. Let's put that on the board.
I don't think I want to do that.
Come on!
I don't think I want to do that.
Don't be a girly man.
I don't think I want to do that. Matthew, Garrett Jones was
Tell you
projected...
what, I won't count Albert's home runs yesterday.
Oh, really?
You
oh,
home
wow,
run lead.
Wow. So charitable of you.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm trying to make this sporting.
Garrett Jones, Matthew,
yep.
was projected by ESPN.com for a fairly conservative 21 home runs this year. If I set the over-under at 25...
Over.
I agree with you. I drafted him in that 20-team league that we're in.
I like Garrett Jones. I you know what, I believe I have him listed in love-hate as a guy that I did not think was a fluke.
Okay.
I believe somewhere in one of my preseason pieces, I talked about the fact that I don't believe he was a fluke. I think it was love-hate. But,
yeah,
I liked him. I mean, you know, it was always... Here's the only thing that people had against Garrett Jones
mm-hmm.
was he was 31 years old, and he'd been a career minor leaguer.
Well, he's 28, but fair enough.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure he's 31.
I'm looking at it right now. I wouldn't steer you wrong on this.
Okay. I thought he was even older than that. But all right, that's fine. That makes it a little bit better.
The point,
but,
being,
the point
old,
being
old for a guy making getting his first real exposure to the majors. That's
correct. That was the idea. He looks like a 31-year-old. You have to give me that. Look at his picture.
Fair enough. Certainly more than you
God.
Do.
Yes. You bastard. Well done.
So
anyway, yeah, I mean, so that was the thing. But, I mean, you look at the power number's very legit.
Yeah,
so,
it's the .293 batting average and the 10 steals in 82 games last year that people didn't trust. And I still wouldn't trust that.
I wouldn't trust either of those either. But I think the power is absolutely legitimate. And, yeah, I actually think he hits 30 this year.
I think he'll be right in that range. Sean Markham, in his first, you know, major league start, coming back from the major surgery, 7 innings, 2 hits, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts.
Had a
Took
no-no
a no-hitter
for a while.
Into, I believe, the 7th inning.
Yeah.
Matthew, owned in just 2% of leagues. He is at Baltimore in his next start. How do you like him as a pickup?
I think he's a spot starter.
Okay. Well, is that a spot then at Baltimore?
I think it could be. I think it could be. I like Baltimore's offense
yep.
more than most.
Right.
That said, I wouldn't have said start him at Arlington against Texas either.
Right.
Yeah, I probably would roll the dice with him if you were spot starting at Baltimore.
By the way, sorry, he's owned in 18% of leagues, but still
okay.
available in most leagues. Now,
yeah, I don't think he's a 10-team mixed league worthy guy that you carry.
Okay.
I think he's worthy of a spot start. I think he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on, but again, he's an AL East pitcher who's going to be pitching against the Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, and the Orioles.
Let me ask you this. Our colleague, ESPN insider Eric Carabel, blogged this week that Markham, before the start, that Markham was basically, if you're going to roll the dice on a guy, he was a better guy to do it on than Ben Sheets of the Oakland A's.
Yeah, EK hates Sheets and Dukeshire. You know, he
hates
said
a strong word, but
no,
okay.
No. The passion, right? the big angry posters he has
really?
Near his desk with the really? Big X's out. It's really okay. It's uncomfortable, frankly.
Okay. All right.
No, I mean, Dukeshire and Sheets were his pitchers to avoid on the Baseball Tonight fantasy special.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with him,
okay.
But I understand his point. I think it's a fair one.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I like Sheets a little bit more. I'd rather the guy in the AL West pitching in Oakland Coliseum than the guy in the AL East. But, I don't think it's a bad point, and I think him and I both agree that...
I'm not asking you to rate his point. So your point is that you would rather have Ben Sheets.
Correct.
Okay. You would rather have Ben Sheets.
I would rather have Ben Sheets, but I don't disagree with the idea that basically Markham is an interesting guy to take a flyer on.
The aforementioned Carlos Gomez, 4-for-5, batting in the second spot, Matthew.
Right.
Owning just 7% of leagues. Had
crushing
a big
it.
Spring.
Yep.
But he's got this sort of young player thing where he doesn't walk at all.
None.
And he's going to be entirely dependent on whether or not he's going to be able to hit like 270 or better.
Yeah.
So,
but I like him. Again, young guy, speedy,
mm-hmm.
clearly with a lot of pop.
Okay, yeah, right.
over under 4 home runs for Carlos Gomez this year.
I would take the over. Gomez is one of those toolsy guys. Like,
you think you get like 8 or 9, maybe 10.
Like when he was coming up, like earlier in his career, it wasn't like people said, "Oh, he's going to be a slap hitter." People thought he'd be a guy that hit 15, 20 home runs in his peak. He's 6'4", 215 pounds. I mean, he's not a teeny guy out there. Right. So yeah, I think he hits more than
like
4.
Like a young Matthew Berry out there, kind of gazelle like.
I mean, he hit 7 home runs in 577 at bats in 2008 with Minnesota. So I think I think 7 to 10 is reasonable. Right.
I like him. He would be, listen, it's whatever, it's one day.
Right.
Right. But,
it's one day, but he's a guy that will be snatched up very quickly.
Right.
So it's either, get in there or nah,
right.
Not so much.
And I actually think he's worth grabbing.
Okay.
I actually think he's worth grabbing because again, I think he'll hit for a reasonably high average. I would think maybe 280, 275, 280.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think that's optimistic. The one thing with him is he's such a great defender that he'll be able to stay on the field. As long as he's not a complete disaster at the plate, he should be able to stay on the field.
Right. What are their other options?
Well, they
Corey
got
Jim Edmonds.
Jim Edmonds and Jody Garrett. So they got, right. They got a little bit. They don't have nothing, but.
I think Carlos Gomez would have to, mess up to Pod Vader-like proportions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Cut to a shot of Pod Vader.
What did I do? I know.
Matthew, two thumbs, this guy has always liked.
You've always liked Carlos Gomez too, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, not so much this year. I mean, I've always liked him as a prospect.
Right.
I believed in him. But I can't say that I was on the Gomez this year bandwagon.
No, you weren't, but,
But who I've also really liked, whose name also starts with Carlos, who somehow I've managed to not own in any of the leagues that I really care about this year.
Who's that?
His name also starts with Carlos, I meant.
Carlos Zambrano. Yes, you have long loved the Carlos Zambrano.
I have, and I basically thought that the hate went too far. The hate did not go too far yesterday. One of the third Ooh. Innings, 8 earned runs, six hits, 1 strikeout. His next start's at Cincinnati. I'm going to go ahead and say you want to bench him for that start.
Yeah.
Not totally overreacting to this one yet.
That was bad, though.
Yeah, but I mean, for a guy that's a borderline own in a 10-team mixed league, as
right.
it is. Certainly you bench him, or if you drop him, that's fine. If you drafted him in an NL-only league, you have no choice but to ride it out a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too. Bad start. Listen, I actually came around to your way of thinking this year and felt that the Zambrano hate had gone way too far.
Right.
That he was a more skilled pitcher than where he was going.
Right.
But yesterday was bad.
Well, maybe the Braves are just a juggernaut. Maybe the Jason Hayward-led Braves are going to be the, what is it? What year was the Big Red Machine? 74 Reds? 73 Reds? It was
I was born.
I know
later.
That.
I thought Big Red was like 77 or 78.
Oh, okay. Well, I was born then.
Not
so much following baseball.
Right.
It's more spending time with the ladies.
Your mom. Your very pretty mom.
So move along here. So anyways, Zambrano, you have to ride it out with for now.
I think you ride it out. You keep him on your bench, but I think you ride it out. By the way, this has no fantasy impact whatsoever, but speaking of that 20-team league that you and I are in.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of, DL pitchers in that. I got Eric Bedard in that league. I've got
right.
Gil Mesh in that league. So
right.
a couple of, and my, one of my closers is Francisco Cordero.
Okay.
So I grabbed, just because it's a 20-team league and every guy goes, I grabbed Nick Massett.
Right.
And he was the Cordero handcuff, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you know on that team.
No, I don't either, but he was my best guess.
Right, sure.
He was my best guess as a handcuff. So, anyway, with Bedard and Mesh, and, you know, we don't have a lot of bench spots.
Yeah.
I was just looking for a pitcher to throw in my lineup.
And you weren't looking for a guy that was going to give up 5 earned runs in one inning? You were looking for something else?
So, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. You're just like, oh, all right, I'll throw in Nick Mass. Maybe I get a cheap win this week or something like that. 5 earned runs.
Not so much.
My ERA, my team ERA is 54.
Yeah. All right, Matthew. Anything else you really want to call out from yesterday? Obviously, we could, in all seriousness, we could talk about every game and point things out. There were a lot of lineup oddities. I know a lot of which Eric Carabel is covering in his blog today on ESPN.com. Right. Connor Jackson batted leadoff for the Diamondbacks, which was a little odd. Everybody thought it would be Stephen Drew. And actually, by the way, much better for Stephen Drew to be batting second than leadoff.
I don't disagree with you.
Especially behind a guy like Jackson that'll get on base as opposed to if he's leading off. You know who's potentially on base for him? The pitcher and .270 on base percentage, Chris Young. So basically no one's on base for him.
Yeah. The only thing that I thought was interesting was, the only one thing I would say is David Wright hitting a home run, and it was the first home run to the right field corner at Citi Field ever in the history of the park.
What?
I'm looking at it right here. According to our crack ESPN stats and research team.
You know, I wanted to ask you this, actually, because yesterday there were two wagers I wanted to put on the board before the season started. I wanted to put a stamp on the fact that I believed in Ichiro.
Right.
Which you suckered me into going a little higher than I wanted to go there.
All right.
Yep. And the other thing is, I want to put a stamp on David Wright. I already own him in like 4 leagues. I paid top dollar for him.
Right.
I didn't get him at a bargain. And I think the power comes back this year.
So you want to say 30 home runs?
No, I want to say like...
But hang on. If the power comes back, that's what it is. He's a 30-homer guy.
He 27, last year. 27, 26, 30, 33. He hit 10 last year.
I understand.
I have not seen a single projection.
You just said the power comes back. He's a 30-homer guy. The numbers you just read average out to 30 home runs a year.
So
fine. Let's put 30 home runs on the board.
No.
You just said the power comes back.
It does come back.
So it comes back to 30...
It doesn't come back all the way. It comes back so he hits...
Okay, so now it doesn't come back all the way. Now it comes back marginally. He hits more than 10 home runs. Way to go on a limb.
No, I'll put 25. I'll put 25. 2.5 times as many home runs as he hit the first year in Citi Field. Everybody says Citi Field, he's a totally different player. You ranked him lower in leagues this year. 25 home runs.
I had him in the second round. I had Longoria ahead of him. He's a 30-homer guy. He's a career 30-homer guy, and you think he's going to hit 25 because his power's
all
the way back.
He's not a career 30-homer guy.
He's averaged 30 home runs over the 4 seasons that weren't last year.
He's averaged 29 home runs in those seasons.
Fine.
Actually, 28. Actually, 28.
I told you
25. If you're not man enough to put it on the board.
Suddenly it's my manly. You're the one backtracking on your statement.
At 25 home runs, he's the second best third baseman in Major League Baseball, hands down, which is not how you ranked him.
At 25 home runs, he is
the second best fantasy third baseman in baseball, hands down.
If he hits 25?
Yes, because he's going to hit over 300.
Assuming he hits for average and assuming the steals stay up, yes. I would agree with that. If all those things happen.
I'll do this. If you won't do 25, I'll put him on the board head to head on Player Rater with any third baseman of your choosing other than A-Rod.
We'll do 25 home runs. 25. I'll do 25
over under 25 home and runs. A half home runs. Let's
right.
Say.
25 and a half home runs. I take the under on David Wright.
I take the over.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Dame out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Matthew, Chris in Hoboken, New Jersey says, hello,
Sam. By the way, it has to be 25 and a half from this day forward. I'm not giving you the free one.
I think that's already on the board, my friend. I feel more misled than usual about your advice on Mike Napoli. I waited on catching my 12-team one catcher league, and by doing so, I ended up with TMR favorite Mike Napoli.
Yeah.
It now appears he's in a time split with Jeff Mathis, even sitting on opening day. Thanks for the heads up. Can you please play the name game? Please play the name game.
If we're going to get into the minutiae, let's get into the minutiae.
I'm scared of Anderson Cooper. He should probably deface the Ted Koppel picture.
I'm the mayor of Mattyville.
Sorry, Bill Gates.
Bod Vader in a tank top t-shirt and nothing else.
Doesn't do anything for me.
He speaks our language. Blah, 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 blah. I like that one.
Yeah, that one's got a lot of, like, drops in it that I don't really remember. Like, no. Defacing Ted Koppel? I don't remember us having a feud with Ted Koppel.
I remember you guys saying it, but I don't remember the context.
Matter of fact, open invitation for Ted Koppel right now to come on the show anytime you want.
Ted Koppel and I have something in common.
What's that?
Syracuse graduates.
Pod Vader couldn't get Anderson Cooper on the show like he was intimating at.
Oh, I'm still working on that.
Oh, you're still working on that? All right, Matthew, first of all, so why don't you address this Mike Napoli nonsense?
20 home runs each of the last 2 years where he's been in a timeshare with Jeff Mathis each of the last 2 years.
You never said he wouldn't be in a timeshare.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Mike Napoli. He's a terrible defender.
Right.
He's never going to play more than 120 or so games.
He might play a little bit more, although I will say this year, I think what I wrote about him was that, you know, if you can just get a few more bats, because he might DH some this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he doesn't have to. I mean,
no, listen.
20 home runs, he's a top 10.
Yeah.
If the batting average doesn't kill you, which it looks like the last couple of years, he's settled in as a 270 guy.
Right.
He's a top 10 catcher.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what the complaint is. I never said he wouldn't be in a timeshare with Jeff Mathis. He's always going to be, and he's going to wind up the year with 20 home runs, at least. And I think that he might get some at-bats at DH this year.
Just in case he doesn't want to listen to us, Matthew, the name game was, we'll include Mike Napoli. Mike Napoli or Yadier Molina?
Despite the granny by Yadier, I say it is Mr. Napoli.
I would agree with you. Napoli or John Baker?
Napoli.
And Pudge Rodriguez?
Napoli, not close.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yadier is the only one that I would even consider.
Jeff from Virginia says, go Gryphons.
Interesting.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know, but I like
them. Can you look up a Gryphon? Gryphons.
Sounds like a Harry Potter reject.
It sounds like a griffin or something. Like
right.
Some sort of like a winged beast.
Oh, I like the winged beast.
So Jeff wants to know, I followed your advice to not overpay for a first baseman in a 12-team mixed league. As expected, it yielded mediocre to subpar results. Our advice?
Duh.
He says, I ended up with Russell Branyan and Gabby Sanchez since I had more
cash.
Hang
on. In a 12-team league, overpay is one thing, but that's terrible.
Well, I think Gabby Sanchez will be okay, but yes, you should have ended up with, like, Paul Konerko.
Right.
You should have ended up with Paul Konerko or Todd Helton or whatever, somebody like that. What's up, Pod?
Yeah, it's just a different way to spell Griffin.
Oh, wow.
Eagle, half lion.
Nice.
So what's a griffin?
It's a half eagle, half lion.
He says, should I just wait for the return of Russell Branyan? Should I make a trade? It seems like these clowns overvalue first baseman. Yeah, that's probably true. He said everyone went for $5 more than the recommended price. By the way, recommended price doesn't matter when that starts to happen. If you need a guy,
right. You
got to adjust to what's going on. Should I pick up Ramon Hernandez?
No.
Daniel Murphy?
No.
Casey Kochman?
You know what? Casey Kochman had a nice little game yesterday.
RBIs batting in the third spot.
I actually think yes.
I mean, he is as I mentioned, he is a singles hitter, but.
Right. I mean, it depends on the rest of your lineup and what you need for power-wise and whether you can absorb the batting average hit of Branyan. I mean, maybe if you ended up with Branyan and you surrounded yourself with good batting average guys and you need his power, but in a vacuum, I would rather have Kochman than those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very close between Kochman and Sanchez, but I think you're probably right, especially since didn't Sanchez hit like eighth? Sanchez hit eight yesterday. Glenn from New Jersey says, fantasy question, Justin Upton for Ichiro and Francisco Liriano, which side gets the better deal? I think it's obviously the person who gets Upton, but my imbecile of a friend disagrees.
I agree with the imbecile friend, I think.
You'd rather have Ichiro and Liriano?
Yeah.
I would too, even though I'm not as high on Liriano as you, but I think, obviously I love Ichiro and I think Upton is great.
Right.
But there's certainly some risk.
And I'm
there.
Down on Ichiro.
Yeah.
And I love Upton like he's my son.
Right.
But, you know, I'm all in on Liriano.
So he wants us to read this embarrassing statement about his friend Chris. I think we should read it about him.
Right.
So, Glenn is an absolute moron and an embarrassment to baseball fans as well as the human race. for the rest of the 2010 season. He should only be allowed to watch Nationals games that Jason Marquis pitches instead of his beloved Mariners. My guess is Glenn doesn't actually like the Mariners.
Right.
If you don't agree with me, just say you understand my thinking. It could really go either way. Oh, sorry, Glenn.
Yeah.
If I'd known that that's what you were looking for, maybe we wouldn't have just read that embarrassing statement about you.
Right. Listen, it could go either way.
Adam in Buffalo Grove, Illinois says, go Patriots, my high school, not the New England team.
Good. We don't like the Patriots or Patriot fans.
By the way, this email was addressed to Fantasy Weasels and High Horses.
Nature Weasel.
So he doesn't want my? I mean, Fantasy Weasels and
that's
High
you.
Horse, that's just entirely you.
I don't think so.
I'm not a weasel. We have the great Jesse Ventura.
Nature Weasel.
You're more Weasley.
I believe he said something else later on.
He was being polite.
Nature Weasel.
I would like to play a new game with you guys. It's called Will They Close? I have an extra spot on my team. I need to fill it with a good relief pitcher who will get me some saves eventually. So who do you think I should pick up? Brad Ziegler or Takashi Saito?
Ziegler.
Yeah, I think Saito's the better pitcher, but Ziegler's got a better chance to get saves.
Right.
We're all in on Billy Wagner. You
know? We are. I was in a auction last night with the Stefania Bell.
Yeah.
I take that back. With our Stefania Bell,
right.
Not the...
No, the Stefania Bell sitting right here.
Being used by many podcasts that don't deserve them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was in a auction draft last night with our Stefania Bell, mm-hmm. and she paid top dollar for Billy Wagner.
Yeah, she believes.
Yes. She went, it's weird. She actually went after a bunch of injured guys. It was pretty funny. Like guys that are currently on the DL.
Yeah, she's
like,
I'm hoping. Crazy money at Eric Bedard.
No, but not even like Lance Berkman. And like, she was just like, she's like, I'm hoping it's the reverse curse.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm hoping I can get them healthy.
Brad Ziegler or Brandon Lyon?
Brandon Lyon.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of money.
A lot of money. And Matt Lindstrom, yeah.
Has a lot of walks. I think Brandon Lyon's going to easily be the best of this bunch. So
yes.
Second best, Ziegler or Jim Johnson?
I'm actually going to say Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Ziegler's a much better pitcher.
Yep.
But I think that Mike Gonzalez, not always effective and definitely a health risk.
Jim Johnson or Daniel Bard?
Jim Johnson. Again, Bard a much better pitcher, but...
Johnson or Luke Gregerson?
Boy, you figure Bell gets traded, right? But I think it's going to be Mike Adams. So I'm going to say,
really? See,
Jim
I think
Johnson.
It's definitely Gregerson if and when Bell gets traded.
You don't think it's Mike Adams?
No, I think Gregerson's a better pitcher. And certainly the guy that's been more durable, in each of their brief careers so far. No, I really don't think I really think it's Luke Gregerson.
Really? Because I actually think it's going to be Mike Adams.
Okay.
I feel fairly strongly about that.
So what are you suggesting?
Most saves on the Padres by a guy not named Heath Bell. I say Mike Adams.
I say Luke Gregerson.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
And the last name on here, Matthew, is the high horse's favorite, Ismaelin Caridad.
Oh, yeah.
And allow me to overanalyze for a second here, Matthew.
Okay. It is what you do.
I'll
just sit here and be funny.
So, obviously, Zambrano got rocked yesterday, right?
Yep.
And they have to bring in Sean Marshall in the third inning. That's, like, ostensibly their long relief guy, and he
right.
pitches well. Then James Russell, who's another lefty, a rookie, comes in and pitches two innings. Then, while the game's still somewhat close, I think they were down, like, three runs, Jeff Samardzija comes in and gets absolutely destroyed, which should come as no surprise. That's what Jeff Samardzija does.
Right. Gets destroyed. I hate Notre Dame, by the way.
So now the game's out of reach.
Throw that out there.
Now the game's completely out of reach, and they use Justin Berg, and then whatever, they finish it off with John Gerbeau. I actually think the fact that they didn't use Caridad in this game suggests that, and, you know, because they also didn't use Marmol, suggests that he may be one of the guys they're looking at for, quote, high leverage innings. You know what I mean?
Like, I would agree.
We're gonna use, so I think this was a really positive sign for, like, how they may intend to use him. I have no idea who the guy is behind Carlos Marmol. And we asked our colleague Bruce Feldman from ESPNChicago.com
right.
to look into it, and basically came back as, yeah, they don't have a contingency plan. It's Carlos Marmol. He's going to be the guy.
Yeah, but I agree.
I beg to differ. I've seen Carlos Marmol.
Right.
But so I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be Carradat. It could be Grabeau. It could be somebody else.
Right.
But a little bit of a good sign, actually.
A little bit of a good sign. I will say that I am actually higher on Marmol than you.
Yeah.
I actually think he's safer. That last year the whip was crazy, but prior to that year,
it was
prior to last year. It was actually pretty good.
I think he's had well. The whip may have been okay. The walks were awful. I think he sort of got away with it. Yeah. 2 years ago, the whip was great. The walks were still pretty bad. But, you know, in fairness to you, yes, you can get away with 4.2 walks per nine if you're striking out over 11, which is what he did. So, yeah.
So, anyway,
so maybe he bounces back.
I took Marmol in the Marmol versus Jinx diamond debate.
Yeah, you did.
I crushed, I think, Eric Carabeau. Either him or... I don't remember. It was either him or Chris Ferris. I was so busy crushing, I didn't actually realize who I was debating.
Okay.
But trust me, crushed.
So you think Marmol's going to have a big year, actually?
Big year, I don't know. But I have more confidence in him keeping the job than you do.
Well,
I think there's less competition, and I think he has better skills than you may give him credit for.
As long as he keeps the job, he's going to contend with Broxson for the most strikeouts among closers. And presumably the ERA will be fine. It's just a matter of how bad the whip is, you know? And candidly, if the ERA is fine and he's getting saves and strikeouts, you can live with a 1-4 whip.
Yes, you can. The Francisco Cordero rule.
Cordero's not really that bad, but...
Cordero's around a 1-4 whip.
No, he's not. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
Stop it. What do you think he is?
He's a 1-3 guy. Last year, 1-3-2. Career, 1-3-5.
Whatever. Same.
All the same. He has had a 1-4 whip in his career recently, 2 years ago.
There you go.
He's also had a 1-1 3 years ago. Anyway, what are you going to do? All right, Matthew. I think we've done our job of overreacting. Sell high on Pujols. Sell high.
Do whatever you can to get Garrett Jones. Sell the farm.
Your firstborn.
For the love of God. By the way, Dan Heron, total fluke.
Exactly. Exactly. Just 3 months left till the second half and the inevitable decline.
Right.
Might as well get out ahead of it and deal them now.
Get out now.
All right.
Jason Hayward on pace for 162 home runs.
Yeah, the on pace stuff's fun this time of year.
You know what? Actually, and I meant to add it up. What's 162 times 6?
162 times 6?
It's
like 972, I think. That was off the top of my head. I'm pretty good at math.
Impressive.
How was that? 162 times 6?
Yeah.
Hang on. 162 times 6. What did I say? 972? It's 972.
Very impressive.
Useless arithmetic.
By the way, because I can't do that at all, but I'll just tell you this right now.
Yeah.
You'll look at this. Placido Polanco on pace for 972 RBIs.
Wow.
And listen, if he gets half that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously he's not going to keep that pace up, but if he gets half that, it's a great value.
It really is.
And he's available in a lot of leagues. So just something to think about
really
there with Placido Polanco really enjoying moving back to the National League.
There you go. If you want actual fantasy advice, check out Daily Notes on ESPN.com. Check out Eric Carabel's blog.
If they want actual fantasy advice, they're not listening to this podcast.
This is factually true.
Peace out!
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.